You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from AskAnything-app.com. When people hear diabetic neuropathy, they often imagine a damaged electrical cable. High blood sugar and vascular injury wear down the insulation and then the wire itself. So the natural question is, can a new drug reconnect the signal? The honest answer, as of July 2026, is not yet. But two very different approaches are getting close enough to deserve serious attention. The first approach does not rebuild the cable. It turns down pathological electrical noise. The second aims to help the nerve terminal grow again. Keeping those goals separate is the key to understanding what is genuinely new. Let's begin with the electrical strategy. Sensory nerves use sodium channels to generate action potentials. In diabetic neuropathy, injured pain fibers can become hyperexcitable. They fire when they should not, producing burning, shooting, or electric pain. Older sodium channel blockers affect several channel types and can create unwanted effects in the brain, heart, or muscle. The newer idea is to inhibit a channel called sodium channel 1.8. It is concentrated in peripheral pain-sensing neurons. That makes it possible, at least in principle, to quiet abnormal pain signals before they reach the spinal cord without causing opioid-like sedation or addiction. The leading drug is suzetrigine. In a 12-week phase 2 study, 192 adults with painful diabetic neuropathy received one of three suzetrigine doses or pregabalin. All three suzetrigine groups improved by a little more than 2 points on a 0 to 10 pain scale. Pregabalin improved by about 2 points as well. Dizziness, edema, and weight gain were less frequent with suzetrigine than with pregabalin in this study. That sounds impressive, but there is a crucial caveat. The study had no placebo group, and it was not designed to prove that suzetrigine was better than pregabalin. Pain scores often improve simply because symptoms fluctuate, people expect benefit, and trial care is intensive. The real test is now happening in phase 3. Two large placebo-controlled trials are underway. One plans about 1,100 participants and also includes pregabalin as an active benchmark. The main result will be the change in average daily pain after 12 weeks. The first study is expected to complete its main assessment in 2027. Suzetrigine already has United States approval, but only for moderate to severe acute pain in adults. That approval is useful evidence that the channel can be targeted in humans. It does not mean the drug is approved for chronic diabetic neuropathy. Long-term exposure is a different safety question. There are also important drug interactions. Strong inhibitors of the enzyme called CYP3A are contraindicated. Grapefruit should be avoided. Liver function, hormonal contraception, and other medicines metabolized through the same pathway can matter. Most importantly, suzetrigine is an analgesic. It may reduce abnormal firing, but there is no evidence that it restores an axon that has already degenerated. A numb foot may become less painful while protective sensation remains impaired. Any long-term trial should therefore monitor monofilament sensation, gait, falls, wounds, ulcers, and nerve function, not pain alone. Now to the regeneration strategy. The most interesting recent human result comes from topical pyrenzapine. This is an older muscarinic receptor blocker being repurposed as a local nerve repair treatment. The biological idea is that signaling through one particular muscarinic receptor restrains mitochondrial activity and neurite growth. Blocking that signal at the skin may release a brake on the distal nerve ending. In a small phase 2 study in Canada, 58 adults with type 2 diabetes and definite neuropathy applied a 4% pyrenzapine solution or placebo daily for 24 weeks. Investigators took tiny skin biopsies at the ankle and counted the nerve fibers entering the epidermis. The higher volume pyrenzapine group gained an estimated 2.32 fibers per millimeter from baseline. The lower volume group gained 1.5. The placebo group lost 0.71. Drug-related systemic adverse event rates were broadly similar among groups. This is exciting because it is a structural signal in humans, not simply a pain score. But it remains a small, safety-led study. More fibers in a skin biopsy do not automatically mean restored protective sensation, better balance, faster nerve conduction, or fewer ulcers. The next trial must connect the biomarker to function and show that the improvement lasts after treatment stops. The history of hepatocyte growth factor gene therapy explains why caution matters. The product known as VM202, or Engensys, delivers plasmid DNA into calf muscle. The DNA encodes hepatocyte growth factor, which has both nerve-supporting and blood vessel-supporting effects. The concept directly addresses the neurovascular injury in diabetic neuropathy. Early studies suggested pain benefit. But the large phase 3 trial, with 500 participants, did not meet its primary endpoint. Other efficacy measures were also negative. Investigators found exploratory signals in people who were not taking gabapentinoids, but subgroup findings after a negative main result are hypotheses, not proof. The lesson is not that neurovascular repair cannot work. It is that a plausible growth factor and an improved pain diary do not establish nerve repair. A successful program must show that the therapy reaches the target tissue, changes the intended biology, and improves objective neural function. So what would the ideal breakthrough trial look like? For a sodium channel inhibitor, enroll people who still have enough pain fibers to be hyperexcitable. Confirm neuropathy objectively. Compare with placebo and a standard medicine. Measure pain, sleep, function, rescue medication, and side effects. Then follow people long enough to understand chronic safety and foot protection. For a repair therapy, enroll early to moderate disease, where axons are damaged but not completely absent. Treat for at least a year. Use centrally red skin biopsies or corneal nerve imaging to measure structure. Pair that with nerve conduction, quantitative sensory testing, balance, gait, and quality of life. Continue observation after treatment ends to test durability. Corneal confocal microscopy is especially attractive because it can visualize small nerve fibers without a biopsy. It has shown consistent nerve fiber loss across thousands of people with diabetes. But acquisition and analysis need standardization before it can serve as a pivotal surrogate. Combination therapy is tempting. A sodium channel inhibitor could relieve pain quickly while pyrenzapine or another repair agent works slowly. Yet combining them too early would make the trial harder to interpret. Analgesia could unblind treatment or hide declining sensation. Each component should first prove its own effect. A later factorial trial could then ask whether they add value without compromising safety. Here is the practical bottom line. Suzetrigine is the most advanced near-term candidate for safer pain control. Its promise is moderate to strong, and phase 3 will decide whether the effect is truly placebo-adjusted in diabetic neuropathy. Topical pyrenzapine is the most promising recent repair signal. Its evidence is limited but unusually interesting because it points toward actual small fiber regrowth. Hepatocyte growth factor gene therapy remains biologically appealing but clinically mixed to negative after a failed pivotal study. And no approach has yet shown the full chain that would justify the word reversal, restored nerve structure, restored signal function, meaningful daily benefit, and fewer real-world complications. That full chain is the standard the field should demand. For the trial records, regulatory documents, and complete evidence table, see the companion Ask Anything report. It includes the direct supporting sources without asking you to take any of these claims on faith.